Welcome back. I am Paula Gordon, Bill Russell. We're delighted to be with Thomas Frank. A lot of people would know your name and associate it with a very widely read book called What's the Matter with Kansas?
I might also mention even more people know me as the Big Hurt. I used to hit home runs for the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, well, that would do it, wouldn't it? I'm going to change the subject from baseball for just a moment.
Actually, I want to stay with that Big Hurt theme. How has the reception been for this book in places like Kansas and McLean, Virginia?
I wanted to say there's a book that he has written since What's the Matter with Kansas called The Wrecking Crew.
That's what we're talking about, The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Kansas the other day, there's a large audience, and they seemed very appreciative.
Forgive me, I'm going to use this word once, resonate with the message?
Absolutely, of course. Well, listen, let me tell you, The Wrecking Crew is about conservative misrule, about, you know, these agencies thrown into reverse, these incompetent people put in charge, this sort of massive wave of corruption and scandal, you know, the lobbying, all that stuff. I have yet to find anybody. I've been on this book tour. Did I tell you 6 weeks I've been on this book tour? I have yet to have anybody stand up for that system and say, no, that system rocks, that system delivers, that system is, you know, that's great stuff. You've got it all wrong. Frank, you know what they say instead? Those people are liberals. What you're talking about? Yeah, this George W. Bush, liberal. Ronald Reagan, you know, if he did what you say he did, liberal.
Yes. No.
Yes. This happened to me just the other day. I was in a radio debate. I don't even remember what city I was in. I believe it was in Chicago. And there was you have a lot of guys who really believe in conservative principles, and they see what the Bush administration is doing, and it's cognitive dissonance. This was their man. 4 years ago, they worshipped him. They bought little bronze statuettes of him to put on their, you know, on their desk. And look what he's done. Look what he's done. And they're only response is to say, he is liberal, he is liberal, he is not me, he is the other.
Well, but that's part of the game that they're playing.
Yeah,
this goes
opportunism.
We've got, you know, we're sitting in the middle of a political campaign where you've got the candidate of the Republican Party running against his party.
Yeah.
And the party applauding him for running against the party as if somehow or other Republicans, I mean, they're new zombies.
You know, there was.
Did you see new zombies?
Yeah, somebody took over their minds.
The old
zombies were the new ones.
Did you see
Mitt Romney's speech at the Republican convention
yeah,
2 weeks ago? Romney said Washington D.C. isn't conservative; it is liberal. And he said, and it's been liberal for 30 years now.
I have to ask you a question right here, because some of what is at the heart of classic propaganda, and you go to the book, you look under P, propaganda, is you take words and you twist them, and you make them something else.
Well, this is pure Orwell.
It's also,
then
you say it louder and louder and louder and louder. I'm saying Alice in Wonderland was a wimp. Aren't you telling me that this is all very cynical manipulation of a very eager-to-be-fooled audience?
Oh, yeah. Well, cynicism is the name of the game here. I mean, this book could have been called Adventures in Cynicism or an Economy of Cynicism. I mean, you've got people that, running against their own party is just the start of it. These are people who have ruled Washington, D.C. for 30 years. And, you know, and there's a biography of Bush that came out a few years ago, and they called him the rebel in chief. He's supposed to be a rebel against the Washington, D.C. order. The dude is the president. And his party controlled Congress at the time, and they had for many years. And before him, there was his dad. And before him, there was Ronald Reagan.
Who was his surrogate dad.
Yeah. And to try to understand them as rebels against the system which they have themselves built.
Which is the same,
is
that McCain is doing. He's saying, well,
he has slightly better claim
to
that.
Well, 91%. He's got a 9% better claim.
Yes, he does. He does. Well, there are a few real things that he did that Bush would never have done. But, I mean, let's give him credit for that later on. But that's just the beginning. That kind of cynicism is just the beginning. You've got to remember, these people come into office with this deep hatred of the liberal state and these extraordinarily cynical views of the liberal state, where they, in their mind, government is not a legitimate institution. The market, man, that is legitimate. That's natural. That's civil society. That is the real world. Government is this imposition.
A free market.
Yeah,
not any market.
By the way, we're talking about cynicism. I mean, one of the things that they do is toss concepts and constituencies overboard when it's just when it becomes convenient. You know, there is no loyalty to anything except for business. And the concept of the free market has always been sort of the greatest fig leaf of them all for, you know, the needs of business, the needs of the upper class in America. So it's, oh, that's just the free market in action. That's just globalization is what did that to you, buddy. You know, come on. And then of course when they need to be bailed out, then it's like, you know, forget the free market. Even that goes, you know.
There's nothing free about the free market.
We socialize the debts, we socialize the losses, and we privatize the profits. I mean, this is.
That's right.
Oh, do that again.
It's not an exaggeration. It's not a original. You can find it anywhere.
It's still good.
That's in What's the Matter with Kansas. That's a well-known. I mean, I quote it from the Wall Street Journal back then, you know.
And we're doing it. We're right smack in the middle of another one of those exercises.
Yep.
And history. You're a historian.
I mean, do you think they're going to make the former CEO of Merrill Lynch give back his $100 million, severance package or whatever?
I want to go back. This notion of a free market is simply incorrect. The market has never been free.
It's a utopian scheme. It can never happen.
And it wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah.
And the closer we get, the more obvious that is. But we're not even close because they're it's not a free market. It is a manipulated market. It's essentially crony capitalism, which is not the same as a free market.
The closer you get to a free market, the worse. Ask the people in Saipan. You know,
exactly.
The closer you get to where management has all the power, the workers have none. I mean, because a union is also supposed to be a violation of the free market. So if the workers get together and organize, the free market's gone. Got to bust that up. So, you know, the closer you get to a free market is the closer you get to sort of pure, 19th century misery.
Yes.
Which I describe in the book. There's been some experiments in this, even on American soil. And I mentioned Saipan, this island in the Western Pacific where they...
which is our territory. It is part of the United States of America.
But when they signed up to be part of the U.S., they got to control their own immigration law and their own minimum wage and a couple other things. And they take this great deal that they got from us, but it's part of the U.S., so there's no tariff duties on anything they manufacture there. And they show it around to various manufacturers in the world. And next thing you know, I mean, they've got this... sweatshop gulag there, just built overnight. You know, they import workers. They work for very low wages. The stuff gets sent to America. It's made in the USA. When the workers get out of line or complain or do anything wrong, boom, back to their home country. And of course, the workers have borrowed money to come there, so they don't dare, you know, step out of line. And this has become the entire economy on the island. It started with the garment factories, but now it's like, the hotels, the resorts, even the newspapers run on workers brought in from other countries. And people have domestic servants, even, welfare recipients on Saipan have servants in their house because they can pay them, I think it's less than a dollar an hour. By the way, they could. This is all, their lobbyist was a fellow named Jack Abramoff.
Yes.
His job was to keep the federal government from coming in and applying our horrible liberal rules to them, and now that he's out of the picture, we did it.
Before we go to Jack the Ripper, can we call him Jack the Ripper? Saucy Jack. You say that the management is in charge on Saipan, and it's important. The piece that you didn't quite add that I would like you to add and continue to explore is that they also control the government.
Yeah.
So it isn't just the guys who run the businesses. The business community runs the government.
That's right.
And the government. So this,
by definition, because it's ethnically defined, the citizens are the citizens there are the indigenous islanders.
And these workers have no chance to become citizens.
No, they can't become citizens. They can't vote. Can't serve on juries.
Don't you call that at least indentured servitude, if not slavery?
It is, I think, by definition. It is debt bondage, which is a mm-hmm. form of indentured servitude. So, yeah, that's what it is. and it's pretty rugged.
I had thought, until I read your book, that Burma was rapidly becoming the model for what these people have in mind.
Burma?
Burma.
Myanmar.
Look at the way the government operates there. It has a lot of the same similarities. You essentially have a plutocracy that does what it bloody well pleases. Has essentially alienated itself from the rest of the world, so it doesn't. There's not much interference. And in a way, that sort of describes what these folks want to do. But Saipan was it's closer to home.
Saipan's up there.
Well, it's closer
Saipan's
to home.
It's
part of the U.S.
And it's like Dubai or something like that. In fact,
what Iraq was supposed to be,
the free market paradise.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it possible that we could ask these people to move there?
You mean the people who created it, who have now are overseeing our demise?
I want to go back. This it's easy to mock this because it's just so patently absurd.
Yeah.
If we weren't smack in the middle of it, you were talking earlier about the liberal state, and liberal has been so thoroughly abused in the language that I think most people are clueless about what you mean when you say a liberal state.
And having had a real good time in this segment, let's start there again when we come back in a moment.
We'll be serious when we come back.
Thomas Frank will address liberal and the liberal state when in a moment we come back. Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, we trust you'll be with us.